Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
Now, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and...
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night at Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
She still goes wild, the crowd.
Welcome to Players K from WZZR, coming to you from Australia from Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com. Not true. It's revolution.radio now. Revolution.radio. Don't go to freedomslips.com. Ain't there no more. Revolution.radio. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. It's all good. It's home to fresh ideas, which are relatively uncensored. I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows how much self-censorship we really have? It's also a good place to get your merch and definitely go into the chat room if you can. Now, the station is not actually supported or sponsored by anyone, which means that it needs your support and sponsorship to do so you can donate any kind of currency, including crypto. You can send little packages of gold. That's good. Gold is nice. I like gold. Who doesn't like gold? We all like gold. But maybe you can't donate, and that's okay too. Because, you know, like we keep saying, things are tough all over. And you can also try freedomslips.org. Now, having said all of that, tell your friends and family, right? If you can't donate yourself, and one of them might be able to donate. So that would be really, really good. If you could, that would be nice. This is a show that is playing on Thursday, April 20th, 2023. That's right. If you're listening,
nice timestamp.
If you're listening to this in 1985, you're listening to the future. That's the truth. What? What? You can catch The Cave on air, online, on your smart device. Good Lord, there are so many smart devices now. So you can grab an app to listen anywhere or listen at home on the greatest table of digital radio. In fact, you can't go anywhere at all anymore without even a toddler having a smart device. But hey, you know what? You know what's even better? You can use the archives for free, gratis, umsonst, nothing. No down payment, no payments after either. Just use the archives to your heart's content and listen to the content there. There is lots and lots. Now, before we start broadcasting at you in anger, which we will in just a moment, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which we broadcast. And for Dave?
Dark and John.
Thank you, sir. And for myself here in beautiful Pemulwuy, it's the Darug people. And with that, we'd like to pay our respects to elders, past, present, and future. Right. Now, did you hear, Dave, the Reserve Bank Board in Australia is there's going to be a new one. It's going to be a new Reserve Bank Board coming our way. Not that it makes any difference. And in fact, any changes that are coming our way won't be in effect until 2024 anyway.
And so, they're not in our favor.
They're not. You're a funny man.
Who?
You're a cool. Hang on. Do you have a radio show? Do you tell jokes on the air into the ether? Into the quantum foam? Do you tell jokes into the quantum foam?
That's what I was doing.
Right huh? Now. What?
So, yes, Mickey, that's crazy that they've decided to basically just sack them all, right?
Yes.
But on top of that,
bye-bye.
Literally, quite literally, on top of the Reserve Bank will now be established an oversight body run by the government.
Yeah. Well, but that's
not a minute.
I find that really reassuring, Dave.
Oh, doesn't it? Look at it. Makes my heart all a flutter.
I'm all a melt. I'm all a melt. That's not a word. That is now.
Yeah, perfectly cromulent. So what I find astounding is for all of this time in the past, for all of it, they've been able to claim that there's a separation between the government and the federal central bank, for those in the US. But wait a minute. If they could call from the sacking of everybody, hang on a minute. That doesn't mean they're separated. Maybe they never were. Maybe they never were. And now they can put they're putting a structure above to basically put a governance ceiling on how they govern our economy. Because is it? Well, it is. But rhetorically.
Sorry, are you asking me if it's our economy?
It's not our economy.
It's not our economy.
No. And you know what? Someone today, Mickey, I'll get to that in a minute. So, I'm all aghast. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, opa.
Right? Wow. So this has come out of left field. Why? Because they've ruined our economy.
Ruined.
That the last, according to Access Economics, the last two changes this year should not have taken place.
That's a shock.
I know. What are they doing? Crippling it.
I'm shocked and horrified and completely unsurprised. So this is the same
in
moment the Americans experienced back in 2008 when Mr. Greenspan said, whoops, I've been wrong all my life.
Yeah, that's right, I've been wrong.
What? Markets are not self-regulating. People are not rational players. What?
No.
How? What? You mean greedy people are greedy? Well, you blow me down with a feather.
Well, that kind of makes sense. But the non-greedy people also greedy?
What?
Yeah, who knew?
I'm incensed. And mortified. But I'm also stinking rich, so I don't really care. So I'll see you.
Yeah,
later.
Good luck with that. I'm out of here. Yeah.
So. I mean, but that's the problem. Look, sorry, Dave, but the key thing to understand is this, right? And I hate to say this, but
I face palmed when I saw that on the news this morning.
Yeah, I know, right? But none of these people that have just been made, redundant with diamond parachutes, no less. are going to be affected by any of this. What? It's another job. Hey, I don't care. So, you know what? I might not be able to afford my yacht, you know, the extension or, you know, to my yacht or my bigger yacht or the second yacht. I might have to wait.
Or the yacht that takes me out to my bigger yacht.
Yeah, that's that's the one. You know, the mini yacht. You know, the 200 footer, the mini one. There you go. That's it. No, but that's where we are.
The real big ones offshore.
Offshore. That's where all my money is too. Offshore. Yes. Thank you very much. Hey, what? Who said that? But this is who we're dealing with, right? So, I'll move along, and I reckon these guys are going to pop up, ladies and boys and girls, I don't know. They're going to pop up somewhere else to wreck something else somewhere, I reckon.
I'm sure there's an opening in some other companies, some of the countries, Federal Reserve Bank.
You know it's true. You know that's what's, you know, I mean, hello. I mean.
I knew a person that was on like 8 different boards.
Yeah, that's about right.
Was it like a friend of mine?
And you know, funny thing,
you retired. I'm quite wealthy.
You know, that day, boom. See, look, I don't like the parasites, as everybody knows. I mean, that's not really a secret. But by the same token, I got to think of my kid's future. So I'm seriously entertaining the thought of sending them to private school when they go to high school. Because right now they're just in a public school, so that's all good, right? But I tell you what. If you look at the people that are going to these private schools, you don't go to private school because it's teaching you more. Who cares? You get taught the same thing. You read and write. You can do some, you know, simple addition. That's good.
Rubbing shoulders, Mackie.
Yeah. And elbow patches.
Elbow patches. From all the rubbing.
All the rubbing. That's what you do. And I can tell you many stories. I actually have quite a number of friends that went to private schools, right? I didn't myself. But I can tell you stories where they got off criminal charges.
Because they knew a lot of
you know, barristers and such, and they know all the right people, and you know, it's look, this is really so what do we do, right? Where do we go from here? What should we expect the world to look like if we all just you know, sell out? Because to me it would be a little bit of a sellout if I did it, right?
Everyone can go to private school. Because then, who's going to do any of the work?
Yeah, there you go, boom, right? But if I were to send my kids there, does it mean I'm a sellout then, am I? I mean, if people said yes, yeah, look, I'll take it on the chin, I get it, right? I just don't know.
Is selling out or is it buying in?
Well, maybe it's buying in to some extent, right?
That's right.
But I wouldn't feel comfortable. I don't know. But then the future, you know, the kids.
Oh, listen to the struggle.
Oh, I'm still, look at this. Honestly, it's a struggle that I haven't really reached. I do know for a fact it works. It does work, guys. Yeah. 100%. It does work. Because anyway, but that's neither here nor there. So look, all these people, they're going to pop up somewhere else now, Dave. They're going to pop up on other boards and just here and there, and they're going to, you know. And see, this is the thing. Okay, I want to say this before I forget it. Now, if you have a body that oversees the economy, let's call it the Federal Reserve Bank. Let's call it that, right?
Sure.
The Reserve Bank of Australia. Let's call it that.
I'll call it anything.
So you'd expect that the people that are actually sitting in that August body, Freudian slip there, the people that are sitting in this August, you know, institution on the board, and however many there are, you'd expect them to be the best of the best. You'd expect them to know what they're doing.
No. Right?
You'd expect, hey, you live in the world, and so I trust you with this economy, which is worth whatever, you know, $1 trillion. Same in America, by the way, you know, because Greenspan.
Well, it's probably only worth $1 trillion over there too. I agree.
He was meant to know what he was doing, but then it turns out, no, they don't. They're Muppets.
That's right.
And all
they do is have lunches and then once a month tell us how bad our life's going to be in a minute.
Yeah. And guess what? It doesn't affect me because I'm okay. But you, all your suckers out there that, you know, borrowed money, well, too bad for you.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. And it's actually burning me at the moment. I tell you what, it's hurting me, all these ratings.
Oh, I hear you.
It
don't forget the knock-on effect is it puts rents up, right?
Yeah.
For renters, it's not just homeowners who are paying mortgages.
No. It's the renters.
And with the food and then they reckon by the end of the year, going into next year, the first quarter of next year, that power prices will double.
Double?
Double, because they just turned off right near where I live here in the, on the Central Coast, the Hunter Valley coal power fire power production plant. They've just turned one off.
Yeah,
why? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you why.
Well,
it's all part of the plan, dude.
It is part of the plan, because this eternal servitude thing, you've got to get to that.
Yes, you do.
Now, we're going to be buying our power from across the border in Queensland. Boom! We've run her boy! Right? We're going to be buying power off Queensland, and the market, what are the market regulator, whoever it is, that we're going to buy the power off, puts margin on it.
Margin.
Oh, how much margin? Oh, it's a lot of margin.
All the margin.
Well, all of it, yeah.
All of it.
It's apparently they don't make the free power, like the cheap power like we do. They're still paying off their power plant.
Yep. That's
so,
right, baby.
Good grief. Australia is one of the most expensive power, cost per kilowatt in the world.
Yes.
And it's not getting better. It's going to get worse.
Yep.
Right? And they go, oh, just move around. Move around between your power providers. What does that do? They all source the power from the same places, and then they all make their own margin. In fact, I rang mine. I won't say the brand. I rang mine up and said, look, I'm concerned, right? I saw the price of this company over here, and they go, we can match it. And they go, yeah, well, that was the reason why I was leaving, because they're offering less.
But hang on.
We can offer, wait for this. We can offer you less. When could you have offered me less?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this thing's been around for 8 months.
Yes.
Then why didn't you offer it to me 8 months ago?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because you didn't want to leave yet.
Exactly. Because you went to the customer retention team. Because that's how it works in these companies, right? They've got a regular team. If you're like a regular customer.
That's right. You've got an exit team.
You probably get someone offshore and they don't really care about helping you. Because you're paying anyway. You're a sucker, right? You're a sucker. You're saying, look, I want to cancel my service. Oh, bang, bang, bang. All the alarm bells go off and the little red lights go flashing, you know. Whoosh, customer retention team. Well, would you like a lobster with with your bill? Or, you know,
sure.
can I take 50% off your bill or whatever, right? So,
yeah.
And the thing is this, right? The new customers as well, because the scam goes two ways. They only give you something if you're ready to leave. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And new customers. So a new customer comes in and gets maybe 30% off the bill for the first year or whatever, right? And they said, I want that. I've been a customer for 15 years and I want 30%. No, that's only for new customers.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't understand. You're giving that person 30% off. I want also 30% off for a year. No.
No, we can't offer that. We'd go broke. No, we actually wouldn't go broke.
Yeah.
But, we can't offer that to you.
So, okay, then I leave. Oh, customer retention team. Whoosh, well, we'll give you 40% off. But a lot of people, because we're creatures of habit, a lot of people don't shop around. A lot of people don't change things. Because, it seems hard.
Too hard, yeah.
It's all too hard, and, you don't do that. Look, I get it, all right? But that's what they're counting on, though. They're counting on human nature, right? And they're ripping us off left, right, and center. I mean, this is the thing. How much tax does everybody think they're paying? Hands up if you think you're paying 30% tax on your income.
Your income tax. It's whatever. Yeah.
40%. 50%. 60%. 70%.
I think my bus is broken.
80%. We are all paying about 80% tax on our income.
That's right.
Well, that's not right, Mackie. I paid 20% or whatever you're paying. Yeah, that's your income tax. Yeah. That's right. And then you have all the stuff that you buy is taxed. Now, it's only 10% for most things. Yeah, not really. No. Okay. Because for fuel, you pay a lot more. Okay.
That's right.
And not only that, because everybody uses fuel. Yes, you're paying GST. That's right. But all the things you buy, are double and triple taxed already because of fuel excise and all the other stuff. And whatever you're buying, those producers and manufacturers, they're loading that tax that they're paying onto the price of the product.
That's right.
So if you can of Coke or product placement, I expect a check in the mail. If you get a can of a soft drink, right, and it costs you a dollar.
If you buy a whole pallet,
yeah,
that's what I'm looking for.
Now, okay, but the thing is this, the thing actually would only cost you 10 cents.
Uh-huh.
If you took all the direct and indirect taxes away, it cost you 10
that's
cents. 10
crazy,
to 20 cents.
Isn't it?
But see, people look at the olden days, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When like a soft drink did actually cost 10 cents or 5 cents, mm-hmm. and a cup of coffee was 5 cents, mm-hmm. and a breakfast would set you back 50 cents or whatever. That's how much things should cost. But because of greed and corruption, we have something that's called inflation. Oh, what? That old thing again? Because these people, they're not happy with what they have. They have a lot. No, they want everything. They don't want a lot. They want everything. Now, I understand people that want more than they have. I get it. You know, if you improve your life, that's cool. I dig it. I also understand people that want to have a lot because they just want to have a lot. I want to have a lot. But my problem is people that want everything. Okay, and that's where we're going. They want, what do you think the Great Reset is, everybody? Everything. I now have everything. Everything. You have nothing. I have everything. You lose, I win.
That's right.
That's where we're moving to. And now all these price hikes, Dave mentioned power, but it doesn't matter. All the price hikes are designed to make it unaffordable for us to live.
Mm-hmm.
Unaffordable to live. It'll come to a breaking point where people can't afford rent. And we're getting very close to it now, where people mm-hmm. can't afford to pay a mortgage, where people can't afford whatever. I mean, look, I can't go on holidays this year. I mean, that might sound like
It's honestly the bankrupting of the nation.
Yeah, exactly. It is. You know, it's just how it is. And it's deliberate. And it's been going for a long time. But now, it didn't exist before. And that's why we haven't
not
seen
like
it.
Not like this.
But now the technology exists. Because the one thing that has always been a problem was the underground economy. In mm-hmm. any totalitarian system, underground economy is a problem, right? Because you can't control it. It's a black market. Mm-hmm. It isn't that, whatever. It was thriving, and it still is today. The cigarettes are being smuggled into Singapore. Mm-hmm. Why? Okay, so cigarettes in Australia cost like $50 a pack or some mm-hmm. crazy thing, right? In Singapore, they cost $10 or $5. It's cheap. But the smuggled cigarettes are even cheaper. So people smuggle them in. And that actually happens, right? It's a black market economy. But it works on cash, really. Cash only, maybe Bitcoin.
It's not traceable.
So cryptocurrency can help there. But cash really is king in that space. So if you take that away, it's going to be very hard to have a black market economy. And if you take that away, right, then you have got almost complete control over people. Because they really can only go to wherever you tell them to go and buy stuff or take stuff or get stuff or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all electronic. Once it's electronic, guess what? If something goes sideways or wrong, you go, oh, you don't have a little stash at home or, you know, you don't have.
Well, no one would be accepting any cash money anymore.
Well, it's illegal, right?
Well, it will be.
It's illegal. And the pandemic.
Only during the cutover, will it be still valid to suck it out of the economy?
So two major campaigns we've seen over the last years. Two major. One campaign is drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, only drug dealers have cash money. That's, by the way, why you can't carry more than $10,000 with you anywhere you go internationally. Mm-hmm. Right? Or drug money. Okay, whatever. So that's one thing. But the next thing. So then crypto came along that sort of went by the wayside. But the next thing was the pandemic. Oh. No, we don't want cash. Cash is like, no, we just have electronic cards. We don't touch each other.
Because you can't touch the money, right? You're going to pass on the virus.
Yeah. Now, there are shops in Sydney that are refusing cash tender.
That's right. Well,
now,
it's
not,
perfect.
That's,
what a
it's
perfect
illegal.
Thing.
It's illegal. They can't. They have to accept your cash.
Well, that's true, but they don't want it.
They don't want it. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first step. Now, this cash thing is going to go away, guys. It will go away, and then you have your electronic currency, and you think, Now, I personally thought, oh, what a great thing, electronic currency, you know, bleep, 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 whatever, you know, that's fine, wonderful. But, you know, then you start thinking about it, and you go, well, you know, there are consequences to this, and the consequences are that you have no longer any control over anything, and they know exactly where you are at all times because it's like a little tracking beacon. It's like,
that's
oh, you
right.
bought this, you bought that. If you pay cash money, yeah, they can't trace that. You know, it's cash money. You bought it, you didn't buy it, who cares? Nobody knows. So all these activities, and now, you know, the increase of cost of living and inflation and all this. I mean, inflation is oh, it just blows my mind that people are still falling for this inflation stick.
Yeah. Right? Hey, Mackie, I've got to, because it seems like you're about to drift away. So, did you see the video that I sent? It was an animated piece of a dude.
No, I haven't yet. I will.
Well, I've got to give something away in this.
Yes.
He's everything you just said is perfect because it lines exactly up with the thing I said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I've just got to say one bit, and that is, he receives a bill for his habitation.
Okay.
And the food, and the electricity, and the internet, and the TV, and all of this, and he's given by the state, this is the living wage, right?
Mm.
He's given 2,000 credits, and he's left with five credits.
To do what?
That will expire in like 5 days or something.
Oh, so you have to spend it.
You've got to spend
it. You can't put something away for a rainy day.
No, but then on the other side of the bill is this, if you'd like a VR helmet, right? That's 289 credits. But it's impossible to save for it. There just isn't a way to do it. And then suddenly there's this message that says, if you'd like to experience, so if you'd like to participate in the new vaccine trial, you'll receive 300 credits. And he says, no. I won't give any more of the story away. But he really, like, at that point, he'd made a decision. And watching all of the setup to that point then is demoralizing. And honestly, I think we'll all be in that position at one point. Is there often the vaccine again?
Well, oh no, I saw that. But see, I think what they're going to do, because they've got time on their side, right? But the scene
That's
is being
right.
set.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to wait for you and me to die. And when I say you and me, I mean people of
That's
our
right.
age.
Yeah.
Four,
right.
Like 40s, 50s. They're going to wait because we are the baby boomers.
Gen whatever. That's my new name for the kids with phones.
Yeah.
But Gen whatever doesn't care.
No.
As long as they've got a phone and internet, man, they're good.
Yeah. Look.
I don't even care about the clothes.
Yeah. Meh.
Okay. Is it Gen meh?
Yeah. It's Gen, exactly. It's Gen meh. and it's funny. But you know, people like us, the baby boomers, you know, et cetera, and whatnot. Because we're Generation X, I think. Once we're gone, then it'll be easier because people will no longer remember a time before internet, before technology, before all invasive apps and whatever, right?
And
nobody will remember.
White, Mickey. And we were going to have 2.3 children and have, I still don't know how you get to 2.3. So and we were going to have a quarter acre block with a white picket fence and a car for everybody in the home. Everything in the house is going to be electric, right? And I grew up with the, I suppose it's an crazy idealistic, drummed into me idealistic view that you can have what you want if you work for it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. You work hard. You keep your head down, and then you can achieve. Right?
And I'll tell you, it's exponential. The effort that you've got to put in to get anything. But hey, who's complaining, Mackie? I'm not complaining. I'm on the treadmill.
So this is the thing, right? I look around and there's something. A lot of people are being pointed out to me. And, oh, look, this guy started a business. This thing. But then you realize, no, he didn't. His father started the business.
Yeah.
He just took it over. Or like Donald Trump, he didn't start this business.
What?
Donald Trump did not start the business. His father did. And his father was one ruthless son of a gun, I tell you what. but it's the same with most of these guys. They're dynastic, right? They have money because
That's right.
they inherited it. There are very few people, in recent experience that made their money on their own, that you know, really started something. And even fewer that got there by, let's say, legal means and ethically correct means. Because like I said before, you know, all these books that say 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and, you know, the 10 things you should do to be a millionaire and all that, that's all nonsense. That's complete. Mm-hmm. That's you know what? You flush them down the toilet is what you do. After you've used them, flush it down the toilet. Each page. That's what it's good for. Because I tell you, all it takes to be rich, right? This is really it. This is it. There's no other secret out there in the world. And I'm not rich because I can't do it. If you're willing to exploit everybody else around you and you're willing to take everybody else's credit, like, you know, like take credit for their work, if you're willing to stab everybody in the back, if you're willing to walk over bodies to get where you need to go, then you can be rich. If you're that person that has no qualms about exploiting your fellow man and woman, welcome to the club. Then you will make it. You will make it. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will see you coming and they go, yeah, he's one of us. Look at that. Or she, whoever. Doesn't matter, right? That's what it takes. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to look at yourself as number one. And you know what? At some point, you might feel like, oh, do I really deserve it? You know, once you make it, am I really that good? And then there'll be this switch that's thrown. This switch is like a flick of a switch. Flop. Where you all of a sudden you realize, yes, I am this good. I do deserve all of this. Because if your mind didn't play this trick on you, right, where everything all of a sudden falls into place and you realize just how brilliant you are, right, you could not live with yourself if you're a normal human being. And all of a sudden you accept that you deserve all of these things and no one else does. That will happen. Because I've seen it happen to people. And I see it happen to people still. And it's usually the people with the least imagination, talent, and capability that get the furthest. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
It's astounding.
You know, you could just be the guy from that was the CEO of Enron.
I invent future money.
Well, I'm not going to say the way he ends because it's, you know, it's a morning program. You know, it could at some point decide otherwise, right? But do you know what, Mackie? I'm just going to say, that's the economy, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching the vacuuming away of the entire crypto world.
Ah, yes.
So I was mining for about a year and a bit just at home, and I earned an amount. I won't say how much it was. It wasn't much. I earned an amount, and as Ethereum decided to make it impossible to mine it, the bottom fell out of mining pretty much. And now the cost of power means you can't mine because the cost of power to mine exceeds the profit you can make from mining. So there's no longer any money in it. But I've lost 2/3 of the value that I mine. In the market, just the bottom falling out of it.
Wow.
And when you see over time, some people call it a dead cat bounce, right? That's the economic term for it. So, it kind of falls down and it bounces up for no reason whatsoever. And then it just goes down even further than it. So it's like, you know, a basketball slowly depletes to zero on every bounce. That's the same thing that's happening. So all the money's getting vacuumed out of this. And I know a couple of millionaires that invested and mined in crypto, and they're going, well, I've got to get my money out. And they don't because it goes up a bit. And then they go, I should have got my money out. And then it goes down further. So they're kind of really having a hard time with it. But
oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for those millionaires.
Doesn't it? It really does.
It really does.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. I'm just that guy. I'm that guy. Okay.
But something else that's failing us, not just the economy and not just the leadership and not just crypto and this vacuuming out of all of our wealth, because if anyone still has wealth when they do the final cutover to the digital currencies, they don't want people to get to where they are. The chasm's got to – it's like, you know, digging out the canal, the moat around your castle. They're all in the castle, all the wealthy people, and they've got to make sure no one can get to that role that they're in. So vacuuming all this money away is just a game for them, and I think I'm sure that's what's actually happening. But I wanted to say maintenance on stuff. Think about how much money that all of our collective countries have spent on war, and when we could have, you know, like Bill Hicks said, you could feed everyone in the planet with love and food, and we'd still have an overabundance of food, right?
Oh, yeah.
the multi-story car park collapse. Yeah. There's a lot of talk about that at the moment. Certainly made the news this morning. But I've got to say, I know of a group of people that manage a parking garage, and they are so cheap that they rotate the fluorescent globe so that it's off. So they're in pairs, and they'll turn one of them off just to save power. Despite them making like $10,000 per car space per month in a building that exceeds their own age, and yet I wasn't kind of surprised that the multi-story car parking garage in New York collapsed, right, sadly killing one. But it's because no one's willing to pay any money on their infrastructure. There is no maintenance schedule. Oh, it's still standing, isn't it? Quick, get the cars in. What's all the rust? Don't worry about the rust. That's always been there from what I remember. It's like the salting of the roads in snow zones where the bridges fail. It's like you kind of knew it always had to be attended to or examined or something. But only when it fails do you go, oh, we should do something about that now, right? Yeah. And so part of you know, turning off the power, don't do any maintenance, letting the whole system just turn up, you know, go belly up on us and turn into a wasteland of which we can never come back from if there's no one working and there's no, sorry, I am talking, it's taking too long and it's red. But if there's no planned maintenance, then it's going to fall apart. And if there's no money to do it, because we're bankrupting everybody, then there's not going to be anyone to do the work. And this is this kind of sad thing. When there's a plethora of money and you've got like nice maintenance, everything's always good. It's always adequate, I should say. Adequate's enough to do the job, and it's got a maintenance plan, and it's got a life cycle, and it's always going to be updated and maintained. And everything. You can always guarantee it's going to work. So what we're seeing now is this destruction of that whole ecosystem, and the thought leaders are gone. They're just, how can we make some more money? Yeah. There's no money to be made. How do we keep going with this? Oh, sir, but no, we've had to divert the funds to another project. Which one? Oh, my retirement fund.
You know,
I made that bit up.
You know what's funny, Dave? This is funny. In Australia, we've got something called superannuation, which is a retirement fund.
It's the only thing keeping the stock market alive.
And apparently, and drugs. Apparently, there are people that have $400 million in that retirement fund. I'm thinking, holy moly. And now they're bringing in a tax. Anybody who's got more than $3 million in their retirement fund, they're going to have to pay extra tax or whatever.
Extra tax.
It's actually about 8% of all people. But I still come back to that person that has got $400 million in their retirement fund. Now, the idea with the retirement fund is there's an advantageous tax situation if you put money into it, right?
That's right.
So you pay less tax, et cetera, et cetera. So people obviously use it as a tax dodge haven, whatever. But, yeah. I mean, at some point you have to ask yourself, what kind of lifestyle are you going to support with $400 million?
A good one.
Really? Which national economy are you going to prop up? That's a lot of money.
Probably Australia.
Australia. Because you got to ask yourself. I mean,
easily you could buy Tasmania for that.
That's probably. see how wrong that is, though. I don't even know how to put this into words. $400 million, right? This is money that I've been able to put aside for my retirement. This is not the money I'm living on. Right? Over here it is. That's my $400 million. Not good for you, I guess. Now, this is where it all falls down for me. Now, I have a real problem with people charging through the nose for something. Now, what I mean by that is this. In England, if you're a doctor, you get a decent salary, right? It's just how it is. The health system is nationally regulated. It's a national health system, believe it or not. After World War II, they all got together and said, you know what, we have to look after each other, and we just have to have a national health system that works, NHS, I think it's called, whatever. And they did. And it does. And is it perfect? No, it's not. Does it have problems? Sure, it does. But if you go for an operation, you can either get it for free or it's going to be very reasonably priced because the doctors get salaries, right? In America, you might walk into a hospital and your arm is about to fall off and they won't treat you because you're not insured or because you don't have any money to pay for whatever they need to do to fix you. Now, never mind that you might die and bleed out by the time you make it to the other hospital, they just won't treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Because doctors get paid gazillions of dollars because they can. It's free market economy, right? Free markets will regulate themselves, Dave.
That's right.
Alan Greenspan told us. It must be true. But they don't.
We afford medical care because it's run by the insurance company.
Yeah. So you have to ask yourself at some point, and this, I'm not a communist by any means, even though the idea of communism is nice. It's a nice idea. It's a kumbaya idea, which won't work in real life.
That's right.
Because people. Okay. But
that's right.
But
look, what if the AI ran?
Well,
everything
is hackable, Dave. I just don't trust it. I'm sorry. so you get paid a reasonable salary. I mean, if you're good at something, you should get paid good money. I'm for that. I think that's a good thing, right? But like I said before, if you've made $10 million, let's say, and that's your wealth, you should get a letter from the government saying, well, congratulations, you've won capitalism. But the problem that we're having is that we're not there. We have salaries that are completely, they're ridiculous. And the thing is, there's people that on these big salaries, they get even greedier and greedier. I mean, how many luxury watches could you possibly have? There was this movie about Benenke, no, that wasn't him. The guy that had the pyramid scheme. I forget the name.
Yeah, that's right.
Robert De Niro played him in that movie really well, too. And he had this cupboard full of luxury watches, like there were like 40 watches in these in a self-winding cabinet, and each watch would be between $20,000 and $100,000, right? So you have to ask yourself, so how many watches do I need? How many cars can I drive? How many houses do I need? And how many boats should I have? And how many mistresses can I really actually maintain? And it's just as great. The problem, of course, is that there is no upper limit. You look at the world, the kings and queens of the past, the sultan of the Ottoman Empire, right? The head honcho had a harem, and a harem had hundreds of women in that place, hundreds of women. And that's okay. He's the sultan, but what?
You can do
that. What? I mean, this is what's wrong with the world. This greed. Ultimately, money is not the root of all evil. Greed is.
Mm-hmm.
Money is just, it's a convenient expression for this greed. It's just, but if it's coconut shells or sandcastles or bananas, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
we're greedy. Money is not going to, if you get rid of money, the problem is still going to be there. It's us. We're the problem. Mm. And that's really where we need to ask ourselves, should we all have good salaries? Yes. But we should have an ethical limit to how much, as soon as you've made, let's say, 10 million or whatever, the extra money that you then accumulate should go to create more jobs, or it should go into research, or it should go to support people that are maybe, for whatever reason, they're sick or whatever. And until we get to a point where everybody is okay, I'm not saying everybody has to be the same, but I would like to see a world where everybody is okay and everybody's child has a chance at a good future, because if you take that away, you see what happens. We know what happens. You look at Palestine, you know, before, you know, Palestine no longer exists, gone, right? Yeah. Now, these people have been, they're generational refugees. They're generation, they've been refugees for four or five generations. They have no future. You know what they do? They blow themselves up. That's what they do. Why? Because there's no hope. I got no hope. So what do I do? Right. Blow myself up. Thank you very much. That's what happens. You need to give people something to strive for. Give them a purpose and make sure that they can be okay. They don't have to be rich, right? But they should be okay. And they should be living in a state that doesn't leave them in uncertainty and fear. They need to be, okay, do I know what I'm going to eat tomorrow? Yes. Do I have a roof over my head? Yes. Are my kids going to school? Yes. Do my kids have a chance at a better future? Yes. If you can say yes to all of these things, guess what? You won't have a big problem in the world.
That's right.
Now, there'll still be outliers and crazy folk and CEOs and all that, sure enough. But ultimately, the world is going to be a better place if we look after each other. Right? But see, Dave, now I'm talking about, you know, Wonderland and Oz and all of those places.
Oh, yeah, it's unicorns.
Unicorn. Woo! There it is. It's farting rainbows. That's wonderful. But that's what it would take. Because we're rushing down the other road, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
If we're not going that way, we're going down the other way. And that's going to end in tears. Sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
And are you sure they've doubled the power prices and such?
That's what they said.
Far out, man. I mean, far out.
The market regulator is the one that is still making the margin. They don't care, right? Woo! Margin, right? And all it's going to do is it's going to bankrupt New South Wales.
Yeah.
Queensland, who make the power, they don't buy it for what we buy it for. They buy it for their price, and now they're going to on-sell it to us for even more. And there's even a discussion that since there's less power being produced, that they're going to start charging people to add power back to the grid from their solar. Wait, what now? Yeah. Hang on, I'm giving you something. Oh no, it's going to cost you. Well then, I won't give it to the grid. You will.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want to. Can't you see the violence inherent in the system?
Right. I'm being oppressed.
I'm being oppressed.
By the way, I just want to say thank you to the chat room. There's some really great commentary in there. You guys have written a lot. I can't read it all out. I do feel sorry. But Sacramento Joker, Futurist, Fleeced, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You guys and girls. I don't know if you guys are girls, but you guys and girls, you want to say? It's really great that you're engaged. And look, you're right. I read your comments. And I agree. I mean, this is a short comment. I want to quickly say it. Fleece says here, it's never enough money making. 100 million a year isn't enough. Need more. America is sick in the head and dying. And I agree. Mm-hmm. It's a sickness. This greed is a sickness. You know, it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. Once you spend time with your kids or you're out into nature and just enjoy life, actually live rather than worry, you know, your life and outlook on life changes, right? But we are also caught up in the race, the rat race, which I think is an appropriate name, right? Mm-hmm. That we can't break free from it. We need more and more stuff. And we need to be better and we need to, it poisons us. It's a dreadful acidic poisoning of our mind, body and spirit. It's dreadful.
Yeah. So where is it that we want to go on holidays? I just thought of this. So you live a life, doesn't matter what it is. You live a life, you save up for holidays to live in a way that you couldn't possibly live at home.
Yeah.
For a short time. And then you come home again. Now, is that the escape? I mean, it's escapism, surely. Because, for that 2 weeks or 1 week a year, I got to know how it would feel if we had this much money all the time to be able to spend living like this with slaves looking after us, right? Well, hang on a minute. Maybe it might be a good idea to go camping, actually step it down and do a holiday where you're not going for bettering your environment rather than getting back to basics and discovering who you really are that way. Because then you realize what you got at home is just fine. Or maybe it's even more than fine. I don't know how you live, but...
Look, if you know what you're going to eat tomorrow and your kids have a shot at a good future and, you know, you have a change of underwear at the least, then you're doing okay.
Only if you're going out, Mickey.
Only if you're going out. Because, look, I mean, ultimately, what do you really need? I mean, if you've got more, good for you, right? If you worked hard, good for you, right? If you really worked hard and you really deserve it, I'm my head goes off.
It's not a criticism. Yeah.
No, but I just don't see how it is possible for people to become billionaires on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the high road, I don't understand how anybody could be a billionaire. Okay, I know business. I've been in business all my life. My father was in business, okay, import, export. I've worked in the corporate world. I worked in small. I see things. I've talked to people. I know people, right? And I don't know terribly many people that are rich, that got there, right, by following an ethical and morally acceptable path. That's all I can say to that. Even not illegal. I'm not talking about illegal stuff. I mean, a lot of people get there legally, right? Is it ethical? Is it moral? No. Because there's nothing stopping you from exploiting your fellow people. Just exploit them all you want. Knock yourself out. Right?
So go back 60 years and look at the wage of the boss and the wage of the worker, the frontline worker. Calculate the differential. Could have been 10 times. Not much more. Now we're in thousands of times or even 10,000 times more money than the frontline worker to the CEO.
Insane.
Yeah.
How can anybody justify that? I'm sorry.
I'm 10,000 times better than the frontline worker. But isn't the frontline worker doing all the work? Yeah. Yeah, they are.
That's nuts. Okay, the question I have is this, right? And I haven't done the research, so I need to do that. But my question, if anybody out there in the chat room, or even you, Dave, if you can tell me, that'd be great. When, because you said 60 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. When did it all go off the rails? At what point did the salary of the CEO outpace the salary of the worker by such a massive margin?
I'm sure it's exponential, and I would hazard a guess that it began in the late 90s.
Maybe.
Or thereabouts. I'm probably mistaken, but that's where I believed it was. Oh, you're that's typing just, away.
No, I'm trying to find it. Like I'm just trying to find it out, you know.
Otherwise,
it was 15-1. It was 15-1 in 1965.
How much? 15?
15-1 in 1965.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
In 2021, it was 236-1 on average. I'm talking about average now, right? I'm sure they're massive outliers.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the average salary of the Fortune 500 CEOs? 15.9 million dollars a year.
Million, yeah. 15.9.
That's just insane. In the UK, the ratio is fairly small, I guess. CEOs earned 93 times more than employees on the lowest levels of pay. 90, so it's 100
wow.
times.
Wow. That's the low end.
Yeah. So what's the hourly wage? This is because people talk about millions, that sort of gets lost, okay? What's the hourly wage of a top CEO? The average chief executive officer salary ranges between $104,000 and $354,000. Okay, and they make about $170 an hour. $170 an hour. I think that is not right. I think it's very low.
Well, that was in like 2000 or something, wasn't it? Surely.
Yeah, I think that's super lowballed. Anyway, but the point is it is too much money. And now that's just straight up salary. Let's not talk about bonuses here, right? Because that's where the kicker is: bonuses and share options. And then the golden handshake. Ah, you did a terrible job. Off I go. Boom. Whoosh.
So if you're on $30 million a year, it should be about $1,500 an hour.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. HRD, Australia, HCA Mag. Your CEO earns $670 for every dollar that you do. So every CEO gets $670 for every $1 that you go, which is closer to Dave's estimate of about 1,000 to 1.
That's right.
Which is right. Wage gap. Here we go. Wage gap between CEOs and US workers jumped to 670 to 1. Yeah, that's at The Guardian. June 7, 2022.
Wow.
670 to 1. What? 49, this is in the US, 49 firms had ratios above 1,000 to 1.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This was a study done on 300 top US companies. And it was a study that was done by Institute for Policy Studies, IPS, back in 2022. All right, so last year. This is hot off the press. What? What? I mean, this is insane. At the same time, the median income fell for the average worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by about 7 to 8%. Oh, that's good.
Because because of inflation and the wage didn't match it, then it's actually going backwards.
Yeah. Okay. This is it. Shareholders approved a $212 million pay deal for Amazon CEO last year, Andy Jassy. $212 million, which is 6,474 times the company's median pay.
So really?
6,500 times more valuable than any other person in that company. Look, at this point, you realize, I am that good. My mother was right. I am special. I was just, what? they talk about, we can't increase wages for people. This wage increase for the top echelons is what's driving inflation, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the unrealistic bonuses these people give each other. What?
Did you know, Mickey, that they also said that a person who makes that kind of money uses more carbon per day than someone at the front line?
You have to.
Well, they just do.
Just the appliances in your house, which is massive, I imagine, right?
That's right. There's music.
Oh, geez. Look, that went fast. Hey, look, thank you, everybody, for letting us into your lives, for the short hour. We'll be back with Chinese Head Out on Sunday. And this has been Plato's Cave. Don't go anywhere. I'm not sure who's next, but whoever's next is going to be awesome. And most of all, be safe.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Trip Riff.